Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Mysteries of the Unexplained. I am Will.
And I am Annie.
And together we are the paranormal comedy duo that host Mysteries of the Unexplained. Are you well, Annie? Are you well?
I am highly blessed and truly favoured. I have spent the morning knocking the shit out of a mobile home. Really good way to get your anger out. Just get a hammer and start knocking some shit down. How are you, my sweetheart?
I am fantastic and you're as burly. And actually, this, you like doing a bit of hard work there, mirrors a character that you're going to play in today's story, by the
way. Oh my God, am I some big sexy kind of lumberjack, kind of labourer, kind of like sexy cuts the sticks and builds the houses?
100% not.
Oh.
But we'll find out later in the show. But I suppose first we better thank our new Patreon subscribers that signed up to us this week. So I would like to say a big thank you to Elizabeth DeSosway.
I would like to say an even bigger thank you to Laura Barker. Thank you, Laura.
Finally, a big huge thank you to Carly Swalwell. Thank you, Carly, Laura and Elizabeth for joining up this week. And if you guys haven't done so already and would like to, you can find a link to our Patreon in the episode's show notes or simply go to patreon.com/mysteriesoftheunexplained where you'll get a bonus weekly episode.
Hey, press the button. Why don't you press the button?
This episode, we have to say a big happy birthday to Vanessa. It's Vanessa's birthday and we said we would.
Vanessa, happy birthday to you. Yeah, she mentioned something on the Facebook page and we were like, of course, happiest of birthdays to you. You're a great little contributor now to the page and we've had a load of people coming on board on the page there over the last few weeks and it's just a bit of crack. And we're always putting mad stuff up there and having the chats. So if you haven't already, you can find the page at Mysteries of the Unexplained and you can join our very, very hard to get into, very selective and exclusive Facebook group.
Now, Annie, are you ready for a paranormal story that will knock your socks off, blow your knickers out and make you put on a bra for once? Are you ready?
I am due a change of knickers. So like if it were to happen today, I suppose it wouldn't be the worst thing. So go on with your bad self.
Our story begins in the former province of Javoudan, South Central France, 1764. In the nearby Mercure forest, a girl by the name of Marie-Jeanne Vallée was tending to her father's herd of cattle. As Marie continued on her route, herd in tow, she began to hear low growls emanating from the forest ahead. The forest grew still. Even the livestock knew something was ahead. Suddenly, a dark figure slowly began to emerge from the shadows.
It was similar to a wolf, but not a wolf. It was about the size of a cow, perhaps a horse, with head that was elongated, but had flattened snout. Its ears were pointed, and worst of all, its wide and hideous mouth showed the longest teeth I have ever seen. That face still haunts me at night. I was pinned to the ground from fear. I just froze. Never have I seen such a monstrosity.
That was a wonderful accent of a Slavic girl. Thank you for that, Annie.
She has Slavic roots. Okay, thank you. Continue.
The beast made slow advances at Marie, but luckily the bulls in her father's herd charged at the creature, keeping it at bay. Eventually, the beast slowly retreated back into the shadows of the Macquarie forest from whence it came. Low growls of dissatisfaction faded. The forest remained silent. A gentle breeze rustled the leaves overhead. Suddenly, the beast reappeared from the shadows, its face filled with anger this time, its gaze fixed upon Marie, its back arched as if ready to pounce. Again, the bulls came to Marie's rescue, this time driving the beast away for good. Disgruntled growls dissipated, and the forest's ambience returned. Marie was clearly shaken from the whole experience, but put the encounter down to a wild animal she had perhaps never seen before. Her village was filled with stories of beasts that lurked the forest nearby. It wouldn't be until days later when the body of a 14-year-old girl by the name of Jeanne Boulet was found mauled to death on a nearby farm. Jeanne Boulet had been attending to a flock of sheep at the time, alone, and so the beasts of Javudan had claimed its first reported victim. Throughout 1764, more and more attacks were being reported across the region. Fear filled the hearts of the villagers. The shadow cast by the beast was growing. Dreams of a growling beast haunted children in their beds at night. Mothers, terrified their children would be mauled to death, silently wept tears of fear, and worried fathers grew angry that this beast could not be caught and killed. The beast was offering up its preferences. Reports noted that it would only attack lone persons and children, with most encounters occurring near the forest of Javudan. When it was successful in its attacks, it seemed only to target the victim's head or neck regions, leaving their bodies for some poor soul to stumble upon. It seemed the beast was killing for sport. In 1987, a study estimated that there had been 610 attacks, resulting in 500 deaths and 49 injuries. 98 of the victims killed were partially eaten, but all bodies were left. As mentioned, there were survivors. Their reports made the beast even more terrifying. Survivors claimed that any wounds they had inflicted on the beast miraculously healed before their very eyes. Even more concerning, hunters of the beast reported that bullets, which had been fired at it, seemed to ricochet off its thick hide without leaving a mark. On the streets of La Hubac, an elderly woman's voice reached the ears of nervous residents.
I have a note here that says, "Will, witchy." Just your normal voice then, please, sir.
The devil himself is at work here. I say the devil. He has instructed a beast to hunt us all down. You silly, silly fools cannot stop it. But who will be next? Your son? Your daughter? Or perhaps it will be me, no? Pray, my children, pray to the Lord above to protect you. It is your only hope. Hickory dickory dock, the beast ran up the clock. The clock struck six. Then six, then six. Hickory dickory dock.
She is a sassy witch.
She's very fucking sassy. The atmosphere within the village was tense. Bands of men tried in vain to capture the beast and end this nightmare. But its shadows tricked them from left to right. Deep growls began to sound like deep laughter, and so the beast's reign prevailed. By late December 1764, rumours began circulating that there might be a pair of animals behind the killings. This was because there had been such a high number of attacks in such a short space of time, because many of the attacks appeared to have occurred or were reported nearly simultaneously. Some accounts suggested the creature was seen with another such animal, while other reports that the beast was accompanied by its young. On January the 12th, 1765, a boy by the name of Jacques Portefeuille and a few of his friends were attacked repeatedly by the beast, gaining severe injuries. The boys eventually managed to drive the beast away by staying grouped together with pikes. The boy's story of bravery reached Paris, word reaching the ears of Louis XVI. Upon hearing the extraordinary bravery Portefeuille had displayed, the king rewarded him with an education at the state's expense. Now under pressure to calm the public, the king vowed that the French state would capture and kill the beast, and so he dispatched cavalrymen to the region to kill it. First Captain Duhamel of the Clermont Prince Dragoons led a small group of troops to Gévaudan. Duhamel's efforts to capture the beast proved to be quite controversial. He suggested that some of the local farmers and their sons dress as women to try lure the beast.
Sorry, this was some kind of drag race, like, that they were setting up to lure the beast.
Oh, if you just put on a sexy dress, no? The beast will be like, oh mama.
I know, it's like something out of like a fucking Disney cartoon from 1950s, yeah. You know, kind of like, oh, this is a woman, but like, wow, wow, wow. Or maybe it was like serving the beast, serving the beast, serving the beast. Eleganza, French eleganza. Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-poom, ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-poom. Do you know, maybe it was kind of that type of thing. Maybe it was a bit saucy. Another suggestion of Duhamel's was to divide locals into groups, which were then strategically placed in the region to try lure the beast to a particular area. The only issue was that these groups were expected to wait all day in the location until Duhamel told them to go home again. Imagine just being like, go over there now 45 miles and stay there until I tell you come back, and the beast may attack you, he may kill you, mauled to death by your throat. Just stay there until I give you the word. By the way, we don't have televisions or anything, or we don't have televisions to entertain your mobile phones to contact you, so I'm going to actually have to get a man to ride you, which will take about 3 hours, and to tell you to come home. By the time you get home, then it's going to be night time, and then we'll do it all in the morning again. We'll start at 5 o'clock. Is that okay?
Yeah. Sign me up, bitch.
Locals soon grew sick of Duhamel's wild ideas and began to ignore his commands. Furthermore, Duhamel was claiming he had shot the beast multiple times but missed because of its incompetent troops. I went to go shoot him and then you actually sniffed and I missed it, and it's because of you.
You got in my way. I nearly had him killed. I absolutely nearly had him killed, only you farted.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I would blame you though if you were one of my troops.
I would have farted if I was one of your troops.
Like, that one's putting me off.
Oh my God, they haven't eaten in like 3 days and he keeps going and tell him to sit behind a tree, wait for the beast. Fuck that shit.
Whilst Duhamel's efforts were failing, the most famous attack of all occurred. A 19-year-old by the name of Marie-Jean Vallée and her younger sister were crossing the River Dège late one evening when they were attacked by the beast. However, Marie had come well equipped.
Marie, look, it is the beast.
Don't worry, my beautiful sister. Papa gave me this knife in case we encountered it. Quick, help me attach it to this stick.
The beast slowly advanced towards the two girls, its hungry mouth dripping with saliva. With the knife now firmly attached to the stick, Marie drove it into the chest of the beast. It howled into the night sky and retreated into the pitch black tree line.
Marie, you did it! Wow, you are so strong, similar to Papa. My petite frame could never do such a thing.
Oh, thank you, sister. You are truly the beauty and I am the brawn.
You're a fucking arsehole, Bill, right? Because, yeah, you're a fucking prick. Why do I have to be the big bet sister? Like, the big fucking muscly sister. And you are like, I am the beautiful sister. I could never do such a thing. Yeah, well, do you know what? It would be me that killed the beast. Because you'd be there wanting not to break a nail. You absolute dog, yeah.
And so Marie Jean Vallée's bravery and strength earned her the name Maid of Gévaudan. The creature still remained at large and the death toll was rising. Duhamel's efforts had failed. Soon he was summoned back to Paris. In his place, the royal court sent two professional hunters, a father and son duo by the name of Denval. The duo believed the creature was a wolf of some kind. Using bloodhounds, they began to hunt out the beast. Months went by, more deaths mounted. The duo had nothing to show for their efforts. The king was furious. He removed them from the area, and as a last-ditch attempt to capture the beast, he sent his personal gunsman by the name of François Antoine, who arrived in La Malzieur in June 1765. 3 months later, François wrote to the king to tell him the beast was no more. On September 20th, Antoine and his men cornered and shot a pair of wolves they had hunted. He claimed that the male was particularly oversized. He then ordered that the male to be stuffed and sent back to the king as proof. The wolf's body was examined and revealed to be possibly a dog hybrid due to a set of dew claws being found on its paws. The king publicly declared the beast's reign was finally over. In the village of La Hubac, the voice of the old woman could be heard again.
It's still alive, you fools. Mark my words, it will kill again, waiting until the king's men forget about this place and return to Paris. Wait, no, it has already killed. 6 months and 6 months and 6 months, and then the end.
This one is absolutely raving. She's the village madwoman. I'm going to take her spot someday.
In the coming months, a further 30 men, women and children were found with their neck and throats ripped apart. The locals decided to take matters into their own hands when the royal court refused to help them once more, saying they considered the beast dead and it was now a matter they needed to solve themselves. A man named Marquis d'Epchier put together a team of men with the knowledge and skills to finally kill the beast. He even set free local criminals to aid him in the task. On the 19th of June 1767, 18 months after François Antoine claimed he had killed the beast, one of d'Epchier's parties were hunting the beast on the slopes of Mont Mouchet when they were attacked by the beast itself. In this party was a criminal by the name of Jean Chantel, who had been thrown in prison 2 years ago by Captain Duhamel for refusing to take part in a hunt for the beast. Jean Chantel refused to take part in a hunt years previously because he believed the creature was a werewolf or supernatural being. Now standing facing his fears, Jean Chantel pulled the trigger on his gun and shot at the beast. A bullet pierced the chest of the beast, which let out a blood-curdling roar and fell to the ground. You see, Jean Chantel had secretly tipped his bullets in silver, or so he claimed. Some say he had the medal of the Virgin Mary embedded into a bullet which killed the beast. The body of the beast was taken to Chateau d'Apchette, where human remains were found inside. There the beast was stuffed and hung on the wall of the chateau, where doctors and scholars inspected it, all coming to the conclusion that the beast was not a large wolf. Unfortunately, the beast's body has been lost through time, so we may never know what this creature really was.
Oh no! I need to know what it was.
So, yeah, very weird story, isn't it?
Oh my God, that was so engrossing. I was like, what is it? Are they going to find it? Is it a wolf? What is it? Like, and then you get so little information. So they said it wasn't a wolf, but like, what the fuck was it? Or do you think they actually, if it was a real thing and this really happened and they got some animal, were they afraid to show it to the public because they didn't know what it was?
Yeah, that's a possibility. So basically, at the start, I told you that in 1987, I think they had said like that there was an absolutely crazy number of people that had been attacked and killed.
Yeah, like
610.
600 or something. Yeah. Like, that's insane.
Which is insane. Now, a more realistic, supposed realistic number, that there was over 100 deaths and 30 injuries, which is still like a really high number.
Still a lot for a wild animal to be attacking people. Like, that's still an incredible amount.
Yeah, like wolves would be known to kind of go through the area, but this creature seemed to be like really, really brave. And apparently, I didn't know this, but some wolves are actually kind of afraid of cattle because, like, the bulls will obviously charge at it. I suppose that does happen earlier in the story and they kind of stay away. But yeah, this particular beast seemed to be like really brave, have no fear as such, and was like really fucking strong. So that's what kind of made it really well known. And then it became into this huge, like, kind of what the hell is this thing? So there's a loads of different theories of what it actually was, like from the bizarre.
Oh my God, tell me.
From the bizarre to like tell the kind me. Of like plausible, I suppose. So the most plausible one was that it was some sort of wolf hybrid with a dog. And mm-hmm. it had these characteristics of a dog, which kind of meant that it was a little bit like more inquisitive as such. Some yeah. people say that it was actually a hunting dog, which at the time were actually dressed in animal hide to protect it from attacks. So that's why the bullets would have like not been able to pierce it. But I don't really believe that, because a bullet is still going to go through the hide of an animal, even if it's protecting another animal. Yeah. Like, it's not going to ricochet off it.
Yeah.
Another plausible theory is that it was an escaped exotic animal. So obviously at the time it would have been, you know, rich people would have had animals that they would have imported from Africa or further afield. And some people think it was a striped hyena that was part of a private collection that had actually escaped.
Oh my God, that might make more sense, because like the aristocracy and like the royals and stuff would have been known to like go to other countries and been like, oh, capture this for me and I'll have it roam around my palace. And obviously stuff would have gotten out at some stage.
Yeah, exactly. So it could be that. Some people actually say it was a lion. The creature was supposedly to have a kind of a bushy tail at the end.
Yeah.
But then they didn't really describe it as having a mane. So it could be a lioness, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
There's the obvious one that it's a werewolf. The silver bullet killed it. And your man, Jean Chantel, knew this. And that's how he killed. He managed to kill it because his bullets, he had dipped them in silver.
Mm-hmm.
Some other people say that it was actually devil worshippers were controlling a beast which they had summoned. And this was actually one of the theories that was more kind of plausible at the time, because it was 18th century France, which was full of Catholic citizens, and they just believed that anything that lurked in the shadows was demonic. And the high level of murders and kills and the fact that their bodies were left on display was like there was a demonic creature that was either controlled by devil worshippers or Satan himself. So what do you believe?
Yeah, because I don't want to believe any of it. It's kind of weird. It did seem to be killing, like, as much as I want to believe that it was just, you know, like an exotic animal that got away, I suppose, like, that's pretty plausible. But why would it be killing for sport so much? I mean, if it was hungry, it'd be killing to eat. Maybe it was rabid. Like, maybe it had fucking rabies or something and was actually fucking cracked.
Yeah, like, well, maybe.
But then a few people said that they had shot it and it was just like, no. So probably, if you're going to go for the most logical thing, it was probably a creature controlled by a load of devil worshippers. The fucking place. Europe was full of witches at the time, and it was witches. And I'm afraid to go for a walk through the fields now here at home in case a rabid animal comes at me. I'll bring Watty with me. Watty will be great protection for me. What do you think it is?
I would love it to have been the last werewolf.
Fucking werewolf, yeah. And I wonder, did they actually catch it? Because how, you know, it was such a huge story in France and stuff. Like, so, and then its body mysteriously goes missing. Like, that's the thing. Like, whose interest is it in for the body to go missing? If it had been a hyena or a lion or something that had gotten, like, out, wouldn't it just, people, you know, somebody would have come along to look at it and be like, oh yeah, like that's a hyena or whatever. Like, why did it go missing? I think that that's really interesting.
Yeah, I know. It is really weird. But like, I suppose it, like, attacks from wolves were actually a really big problem at the time in Europe and France. Like, there would have been like thousands of people that would have, you know, been like killed by wolves in that century alone.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy by the name of Michel Louis, I think he's a naturalist, but he said that he reckoned that the beast was actually covered in like the hide of a young boar, and that's why it kind of looked a bit strange to other people. I don't know. It's very fucking weird.
Imagine it was like an 18th century like Tiger King kind of dude who had like that was keeping them back in France, and he was like, oh yes, you know, my tiger. And the witch was actually your one. What's her name? The witch was his arch enemy, and she was like, oh, that beast is not dead. And he was just some Egypt keeping like exotic animals for the royals. Like they would have had them somewhere. Like they used to have like leopards roaming around their palaces and stuff like that. Wasn't Marie Antoinette known for that? Let's just say there's no such thing as werewolves, and it was an 18th century tiger king who let one loose.
And excitingly, Annie, Netflix are actually making a film about this, so you'll be able to hopefully see that at some stage. I don't know when it's released, but reportedly
Oh my god. And you're after fucking ruining the end of it on me. Thanks a million.
You wouldn't watch that anyway. You joking me? You wouldn't watch that.
I wouldn't. I'd shit my pants.
You'd fucking shit your knickers.
I shit my pants. I can't even walk down the lane when it's dark.
As well as that, anything that I suggest you to watch, you're like, no thanks. And you're like, okay.
I know. People hate that about me. They're like, why don't you do this? And I just go, no thanks.
Anyway, join us after break when we'll be getting into Ask Annie Anything.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back. And now it's time for...
Ask Annie Anything.
That's me.
Annie, we've got a load of questions in for you this week. So are you ready to sit in the hot seat and answer them for the public?
Oh my God, I always get a little bit nervous with this, that I'm going to, like, you know, make an absolute show of myself. Sure,
Oh, you will. David Mills writes in, he says, do you have any favourites on the new season of RuPaul's Drag Race UK yet, and why?
Oh my God, this is really bad, but I haven't actually started watching it yet. Now, I don't know why, I haven't got around to it, and I'm going to binge watch it all, but I do really like the girl on it. I think I've seen an interview with her, and it's kind of biased because I haven't seen many of the other ones, but what's her name, Will?
Victoria Sponge, I think, isn't it?
Victoria Sponge. So I do really like her, and I think she's going to bring something new to it. But David, once I binge watch a few episodes, I will be right back at you. Thank you, David. You're always asking questions. Thank you.
Janique writes in and she says, "Dearest Annie, you mentioned you were a bit of a metalhead as a teen. Who were your favourite bands?"
Oh my god, yeah. Well, I suppose I don't know if they're classic metal or whatever, but like Tool were one of my favourite bands and are still one of my favourite bands. And Dave always finds it really funny when I'm playing Beyonce around the house that like Tool is my favourite band. But I like all kinds of things. And I went to see them once in Dublin and it was actually, like, it actually blew my mind. Tool and A Perfect Circle. So thank you.
Mariandia Katrin Berthold writes in and she says, "What is one American food you've never had but always curious to try?"
Oh my god, so I haven't had like most like proper like American food because I've actually never been to the States. I know that's really weird, but I'm going next year. Because Dave has relatives in Chicago. Hi guys. So I really want to try pizza rolls after the debacle last week about pizza rolls. I know what they are now. I do, and thanks for everyone for helping me out. I do know what they are. I want to try them. I want to try a Tootsie roll. I don't know if I can have that. I'm vegan. Maybe I can't have that. I want to try one of those like gigantic slices of pizza that you always see on the movies. But once again, I'll have to try to get a vegan one. And I've also never had... like a proper burrito from a proper Mexican place. Like, I don't think I've ever had a proper burrito. But once again, these all need to be vegan. So anyone who can give me any help where I can find them in Chicago, please. Thank you.
Jen Hollabrow writes in and she says, "Annie, darling, if you were arrested without any explanation, what would your friends and family assume you had done?"
Fuck.
Indecent exposure.
Probably not being indecent exposure. Honestly, I suppose they all kind of think like that I'm a bit of a hippie or something because they'd probably think that I'd like chained myself to a railing somewhere. But like, I'm too lazy to do that, lads. I'm actually too lazy to do that. Otherwise, they would think that I had something to do with alcohol, that I had gotten really drunk and maybe slapped someone. Like, I've slapped a few bitches, mainly Will, when I was drunk. But I have been known to get a little bit... Only when people try it on with me, lads. I'm usually very...
I was trying it on whenever I was eating that chicken burger. Anyway, Alice...
Chicken burger will live in infinite.
Alison Scott writes in and she says, "If you could consign one celebrity to... Sorry. If you could consign one celebrity you find annoying to the bin, who would it be and why?"
Oh my god, I find so many of them annoying. I find all of the Kardashians just completely annoying and pointless. I just don't think they ever say anything interesting. I understand that they're businesswomen and they have a platform and like go and like, you know, make your money and have your lifestyle. That's amazing. But I just don't think that any of them, I've heard them say anything like remotely like noteworthy. So they can all go in the bin, the whole fucking lot, especially that mother. She's a cretin. Get in the bin.
Ruth Newcomb writes in. She says, "Please insert your own question here as I can't think of it at the moment. X."
Insert your own question. Okay, here's the question that I've been wrangling with all day. Maybe somebody can help me. I need to learn how to... dye a couch, like a sofa. Okay, so if anybody's ever done it before, this is a question that's in my head because I am currently renovating, do you call it in the States like a trailer, like it's a mobile home? I'm renovating one and I've thrown most of what's in it out of it, but there is one sofa that I can't budge, but it's like Father Ted style 70s paisley brown. And I need to dye it in situ. I can't take the covers off. I need to like fabric dye it in situ. So that is a question that I've been asking myself all day. What is a girl to do? Any answers, please send them
in. Can you not reupholster it?
It'll cost an absolute bomb to reupholster it. And it's not worth it. Like, it's just not worth it for what it is. Like, but I think I can diet, but I just need to find out the best way.
Best of luck with that. Jennifer Walker Cassius writes in and she says, oh yeah, also Will, sorry about your imaginary parents splitting up. I don't want to talk about that, Jennifer. Not right now. My parents are going through, my imaginary parents are going through a divorce. I don't know which one to go with. I'll probably end up going with Elon because he has probably more money and it'll be cooler. Thank you. Ashley May, what type of setup do you have for when I surprise visit you? Don't worry, I'll figure out your address myself.
Well, Ashley May, I'm on the move again. Well, maybe. We are renovating in hopes of moving. So the setup currently that you would have if you came right now would be an absolutely gutted trailer home with cushions that need to be dyed, no central heating, no heating at all for that matter, no hot water, but we do have electricity. So listen, you can bring your sleeping bag and see what suits you. I do have a lot of outdoor farmyard that could also be converted. We have a few barns and stuff like that. So find me, bitch. Fine,
Becky Walters McCulley writes in, she says, Annie, love, come here to me now. In one sentence, how would you sum up the internet?
An absolute shit show.
Very good. Kyra May writes in, if you and Will switched bodies, what's the first thing you would do as each other that you wish they'd do as themselves?
Oh, Kyra. Oh, Kyra, Niall, you're here trying to start rows, Kyla, because you know exactly how to push the buttons. Well, if I had Will's body, right, number one, I'd go out and, like, I would buy all the size zero clothes that I can because I'd finally be skinny. Like, I'd be, like, a size zero and I'd be like, oh, my God. I'd go to shops like Zara and buy women's clothes because, you know, like, Zara are just cut, like, for rake thin people. And then I'd get really high heels and I would just be very, like, kind of Elle McPherson going around and I'd put a big fuck-off wig on me and I'd just flick my hair around the whole place and I would just enjoy having no curves and no boobs. I'd wear those because I've got boobs, so I can't wear those, like, low-cut tops. You know, things cut to your navel that are made for small little boobies, which I think are very attractive. I think that's really nice. I'd wear a jumpsuit, like, cut down to the navel with a pair of high heels and a big long wig. And I would just enjoy being a svelte woman for once in my life.
So you turn me into a woman?
Yeah.
Very good. Do you know what I do? I take down your bun and I brush it. How about that? Kat Barnett writes in and says, do you or did you have an emotional support stuffed animal or security blanket item? By the way, I think they should be normalised in adulthood, especially these days.
Yeah, do you know what? Really funny, one of my cousins, shout out, she's over in Hawaii. She still has a tiny little bit of her comfort blanket from when she's young and she cut it up into tiny little bits so she could have one until it literally wore away and then she'd, like, take out another one. So I think it totally should be normalised. And in here they used to call them goggies, like my goggy. I don't know, that's really weird. I don't think I had one, but I did have a black baby doll that I loved. And it was quite unusual in the 80s in Ireland to have one. And I called her Susan and I used to bring her absolutely everywhere and she was gorgeous. And she was like my favourite doll. I really, really loved her.
So you abandoned her?
Then one of my cousins drew on her with marker, like drew all over her face and I couldn't get it off. And I was like kind of disturbed by it. And I don't know where Susan's gone. I don't know where she went. But I totally think that...
So when Susan got disfigured, you abandoned her?
Yeah, like that's the kind of mother I would be, Will. This is why nobody's had a child with me yet.
Yeah, I understand. It makes sense. Alison Schiaffer wrote in. She says, have you ever laughed so hard that you blew liquid out of your nose? If so, what was liquid? Usually it was milk for me, but the day it was orange juice. But today it was orange juice. Ouch, that hurt.
Oh my god, orange juice would hurt so much. I've done it many a time. Oh my god, I've done it so many times.
Probably tea, Annie.
Tea, I think it's always going to be tea because we literally always have a cup of tea in our hands, like plastered. And sure, you're kind of telling stories over tea and you're talking over tea and it will be tea that comes out your nose. But if it's anyway hot, lads, it fucking hurts like a bastard.
I remember a few times actually deliberately trying to make you laugh when you took a mouthful of tea.
You always do that to me. You always do that. And you know at that moment where you don't know, like, if you have to spit, like, you don't know if you can spit it or you're going to have to, you're like, you're trying to swallow it, but you actually can't relax your neck muscles enough to swallow it. I think that's the problem. And you're like, am I going to have to spit it back in the cup? Do I spit it on the floor? If I spit it in the cup, I'm going to ruin the cup of tea. Like, it's very, there's a lot of decisions to go through a mind. But orange juice would be a horrible fecker. You need to start drinking more tea.
Mary Newman Lothian writes in. She says, what is your favourite smell?
Oh, one of my favourites is definitely like the smell of the farm, like after rain, like the smell of like grass after rain, fresh cut grass, or just kind of the smell of home after rain. I think like that's my favorite smell. I can't really describe it, but it's very earthy and grassy. And another smell, I'm an earthy bitch, and the smell of the sea, but not the fishy one. You know what I mean, guys.
Oh my gosh. Vanessa Everly writes in. She says, who are your all-time favourite drag queens?
Oh my god, I think somebody asked me this before and I think I named every fucking drag queen ever. Detox or Alaska, I think, are two of my, yeah, they're kind of two of my favourites. And I also love Naomi Smalls, just for beauty, just so, like, the legs, like, I can't, like, unbelievable. But definitely maybe Alaska or Detox for laughs.
Very good. And finally, Liz Kedzior, sorry Liz if I'm mispronouncing that, have you ever discovered that you put your underwear on inside out when you weren't home? Did you leave them on? Did you leave them or write them?
Oh, leave them to fuck. Like, it doesn't really matter. But you know, there's kind of granny pants anyway that it doesn't really matter whether they're back to front or inside out. Like, leave them on, like, you know. But contrary to what Will says, I do change them daily. I do, lads. Because the last time I didn't, there was a hospital visit.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah, there was a circular saw involved. I don't want to talk about it.
That was actually crazy. You were in hospital for 3 days.
I know. It slipped. I know.
What? Roisin? She's after coming storming in the door here with live on air.
Oh, she's back now. She's back from her disciplinary now. Oh!
Yeah, it's Annie. Yeah, it is Annie. All right. Okay, see you later. Boston High School forced to use party bus with stripper poles for field trip. A group of high school students in Massachusetts had to ride on a party bus complete with a stripper pole and neon lights during a recent field trip. An experience, their teacher said, highlights problems with the education system. Jim Mayers, an 11th grade advanced placement language and composition teacher at the Brooke Carter School in Boston, said that the since-deleted tweet that the original Carter bus had fallen true.
It's a funny story, but there actually is a real bus shortage and it speaks to major flaws in our education system, he said, adding the field trip was a success.
He is now using the attention he is getting because of the original tweet to urge people to better understand educational inequalities and other problems facing the nation's schools.
I'm worried that there is too much attention being paid to the tweet itself, or simply the fact that it went viral instead of attending to the many systemic issues that are facing not just my students, but students across the country.
He wrote in a follow-up tweet. For example, districts across the nation are struggling to hire enough drivers to shuttle kids to school, and some states have become creative, including Massachusetts, which is enlisting National Guard members to drive school transport vans. His original tweet he wrote was just meant to give the teachers a laugh.
If it's gotten people to talk about all the overall infrastructure of our education system and the different ways schools are prioritized, then that's a good thing, he wrote.
He then urged readers to attend their next local school board meeting or read up on the topic. And that concludes today's Billy's Bizarre News.
Oh my god, what the fuck? Well, you need to fucking step your game up. You need to absolutely step your game up. I don't know even if that would make the front of the newspaper here.
Well, it made. Well, listen, if you want to go and talk to the journalist who wrote that, Annie, by all means, off you fucking go. This is newsworthy. It is highlighting the problems that American schools are facing. You want your children to be going on those little trips with a stripper pole?
Well, you know what? I think that it worked for Cardi B. It can work for any daughter of mine.
Oh, is Susan, the abandoned child?
Oh, no, don't talk to me about Susan. Don't talk to me about Susan.
Oh, you'd love Susan. Maybe Susan has a better life, Annie, than the mother that she could have had.
I hope she found a happier home.
I hope Susan will actually come forward. Susan, if you're out there, please, please get in touch with the show, Susan. Please get in touch. Maybe we could do a long lost relative.
Susan,
special.
I did it for you. I wanted you to have a better life, Susan.
I think we've learned a lot about Annie in today's episode. I believe that maybe she is the fucking beast of a Javoudon. And she has traipsed her way to Ireland.
I want to say your French accent is on fleek.
Oh, come here. And again, you smell like fucking fish. Oh, that's just your crotch.
Why is your hair so curly and so fluffy all the time? Can you not find some product? No? You can't find a product for your hair? It's like a bad perm.
Oh my God. What I want to know is, where the fuck is Angela Lansbury?
I haven't seen that bitch in ages.
I know. She came into my head there yesterday and I was like, well, what in the hell happened to Angela Lansbury?
If anybody knows what's happening with Angela Lansbury, I think we have to look this bitch up and we have to fill the lands in now on what's happening next week, because she's a cultural icon and I don't think people give her enough fucking credit for it.
Oh, I'd love to get her on the show.
Oh, I'd love to get her on the show.
Come on the show.
I think she absolutely would.
How old is she now?
She's
95.
What? Oh my God. Yeah. Is she still wearing the eyeliner?
Yeah, wow. She literally looks the exact same.
Wow, she is a fucking legend. I wonder would she come on the show. Come on, let's go ring her.
This is what we're asking you guys to call. Get Angela Lansbury on the
get
show.
Angela Lansbury. Get Angela Lansbury.
That concludes today's episode. If you would like more, you can do so on Patreon. You can find us there, bonus episodes if you wish. Or you can just follow some of the links in today's show notes to find us on our socials. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. We love you.
Thank you. We love you.
Join us next week for more Mysteries of the Unexplained.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.